Let me ask you this morning, church, when was the last time that you were shaken? And when I say shaken, I'm not saying, you know, just in a state of disbelief or just upset. I'm talking about shaken to your very foundation. You know, our nation was shaken September 11th. Shaken to the core of what happened that day. I know some of you have been keeping up and in the news. Tripp Hallstatt, you know, 5 years ago, his parents were shaken when that limb fell on Tripp. And though he didn't pass that day, he did this past week. Their lives were shaken. But, you know, they still have a hope. Amen. And that's what I want us to understand this morning. That regardless of what goes on in our life, there's a hope. We have that hope, and the world is in need of that hope. The world is in need of us sharing that hope. You know, we've all had those moments when our lives have just been maybe taking us to our knees over a situation, circumstance. I've had several. I remember the first one I went through as an adult. 1986, Barbara had just delivered our firstborn son, and unbeknownst to anyone, doctors, nurses, even us, during the actual birthing process, her appendix ruptured. No one knew. You know, she gave birth 3 days later. We're at home with a newborn, and everything is just great. Then she starts developing severe pain and discomfort, and we go back to the doctor, and because of the birthing process, you know, things are kind of out of order, and so they treat her for a bladder infection, kidney infection. It rocks on a couple of weeks. I get a call one night from our neighbor who is a registered nurse. She says, Tim, she says, I'm on my way to the hospital with Barbara. Her temperature is 105, and I can't get it to drop. Long story short, after a week in the hospital with urologists and her female doctors treating her, and the only way they could keep her temperature down at normal, which was like 103, was just continuous antibiotics intravenously. And finally, they agreed that they needed to bring in a surgeon to talk to her and try to figure out what was going on. And after taking care of a newborn and working shift work and staying at the hospital with her during the day, I was run ragged. And I never forget, Barbara convinced me to go get some exercise. She says, you need the stress relief. She said, the doctor's supposed to come in and visit with her. She said, I tell you every word he says when you get back. So I unwillingly left the hospital. Now, this is the day before cell phones. So I'm off exercising at the karate class, getting some exercise, much needed. And a couple hours later, I come back to the hospital. I walk into her hospital room. Her hospital bed's made. There stands my mom and dad, who was supposed to be at work. There stands her mom, who was supposed to be keeping Jordan, our son, and her stepdad. Well, I lose it. I think, Lord, I just got a newborn and lost a wife. My world was shaken. But not me knowing me, she was in surgery at that time. They were trying to take care of the situation. We all have had those moments. Listen, I believe right now God is speaking through his word today. He's speaking through his demonstrations of his power in the world today. And the world is looking in every direction and trying everything under the sun to gain a little bit of peace. Reaching for hope. And it is through us, church, that God wants to give the world that hope. And we have it. And God is wanting to use us. He's wanting us to be his instruments of hope, as we've already discussed through this series. The Old Testament prophet Haggai says in 2:6, for thus says the Lord of hosts, once more in a little while I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea also, and the dry land. Listen, there's going to be things, if we live long enough on this earth and in this life, there's going to be things that shake us. But we can be like the psalmist. The psalmist says these words in Psalm 62. He said, "For my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken." I can almost see the psalmist says, "Come on, world, bring it on. Bring it on. I've got something for you, and it's called hope in my God. He's going to see me through. Regardless of what you throw at me, I'm going to get through it." What I want us to understand this morning, church, is this. Before Jesus left this earth, he commissioned those few that were there then. And that commission extends down to us today as a church. Acts 1:8, he says, "You shall be my witnesses, first in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. You shall be my witnesses." And that witness element encompasses so much, but one of the things that witness encompasses is the element of hope. And the world is in need of it today. It's in need of it today. God has put us, the church, here to give hope to the world because we have it in the person of Jesus Christ. William Temple put it this way. He said, "The church exists for those outside of it." Do you believe that this morning, church? You see, we can actually get kind of caught up in things and get to self-ministering and just self-encompassed when we're not doing what God has placed us here to do. We are to take it outside of these walls to the community around us and extend it to them. And not so much concerned with the inside, but the outside. So what is it about this message of hope that cannot be shaken? What entails that? Well, that's what I want you to see this morning. There's three things I want you to leave with this morning pertaining to this message of hope that cannot be shaken. The first of these is our message of hope is eternal. Eternal. Again, that passage, verse 28 in Hebrews 12 says, "Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken." Our hope is eternal. This kingdom is eternal. What the writer of Hebrews here is speaking of has, of course, to do with the kingdom of God, this kingdom that we've received. The writer's not only speaking in future tense, but he's also speaking in present tense. The kingdom of God is in reference to when Jesus will return. He's coming again, by the way. He's already come, but he's coming again. Revelations 21:1-2 speaks of the kingdom to come. John writes, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there's no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband." What a glorious day that is going to be when Jesus returns. But until then, listen, this world's going to be a mess. And we're going to be living in it. And there's going to be things that take place in this world that shake us. But listen, there's hope. There's hope. Kip and Jessica this past week, because of Cooper's decision, despite what the rest of this life may give them, they have hope knowing that the fact that because of Cooper's decision, they'll have all of eternity. All of eternity. It's eternal. It's eternal because Jesus Christ is our hope. The world needs to know that. The world needs to hear it from us. You know, we are a part of the kingdom of God. The moment that we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, we become a part of that. Jesus, when he came to this earth the first time, in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, he said, "The kingdom of God is at hand." He was there. God had sent himself in the form of Jesus, God the Son. The kingdom was at hand. And he said, "Repent and believe in the gospel. I give you hope. I give you hope. That's what he was saying. It is Christ who makes all these things possible. God's kingdom came down in the form of Jesus when he stepped into our world. And he'll return to establish his kingdom one day. God's kingdom forevermore. And it will reign forever and ever and ever and ever. It will not stop. It will not cease. Paul proclaimed to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. He says, Christ Jesus, who is our hope. Why is this hope that we proclaim eternal? Because Jesus Christ is eternal. Amen? He's always been. He always will. Going back to Revelation chapter 21, Jesus instructed John to write these words. He said, write these words which are faithful and true. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit have always been and will always be eternal. Paul speaks of this truth in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, when he states to young Timothy, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted to us in Christ Jesus for all eternity. There's that word, eternity. We have a hope in Jesus Christ. And we're to share that hope with those around us. And we're to share that it's for all eternity. It's eternal. It will always be. It never fades away. It'll never leave us nor forsake us, as Jesus gives us that great promise in Matthew. It's eternal. That's the first thing I want us to understand about our message of hope. The second thing is this. Our message of hope is unchangeable. It doesn't change. Things around us may change. We may even change. The world around us is going to change. But our hope does not change. Again, we have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Again, our hope lies in the person of Jesus Christ. You know, time and time again, if you study Jesus' life and his ministry, time and time again, people tried to divert him from his purpose, to interrupt him and get him off course. And time again, Jesus informed them that he was here to do one thing, and that was the Father's will. That he must be about the Father's business. Delivering salvation. Delivering hope. Seeking the lost. To save the lost. Nothing. No power. Or nothing on earth was going to change his course of action. Nothing could keep him from doing what the Father had sent him to do. I know Easter's just about on us. And I was thinking about it this week, that scene, and as I was studying for this message, I love the passion of the Christ. And I love the scene that, you know, Satan thought he had won. You remember the scene when Jesus was on the cross and Satan is mingling through the crowd, whispering, and he's actually mocking Christ who is on the cross. He thinks he's won. And I love how the producers and everything, the next scene showed the empty tomb, and it shows Satan in torment because he realizes he didn't win. He received the ultimate loss, that he's alive. Jesus had victory over death. I love that scene. I love it. You know, the truth that our hope is unchangeable is stated by the writer of Hebrews on over in chapter 13, verse 8. Where he says, Jesus Christ is the same, say it with me, church, yesterday, today, and forevermore. Why does our hope not change? Because Jesus doesn't change. His love doesn't change. His care doesn't change. Peter states this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope." A living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the hope that we have, church, in the person of Jesus Christ. It's eternal. It doesn't change. And it's all because of his resurrection, that victory that day that we're about to celebrate in a few weeks called Easter, the empty tomb. One theologian put it this way. He said, "The resurrection of Jesus is our hope for today. It is our assurance that we have a living Savior to help us live as we should now, and that when in the end we set forth on," and I love this, "we set forth on that last great journey, we shall not travel in an uncharted course, but rather we shall go on a planned voyage, life to death to eternity, forevermore." And it doesn't change. You know, Jesus himself tells us in John chapter 14, "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you will be also." That hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. And it will not change. That's the hope that we have, regardless of what difficulties, regardless of what pains, regardless of whatever we experience in this life. Our hope is in the fact that we'll spend all eternity with Jesus in heaven. We can do better than that. Thank you, but we can do better than that. Come on, church. I mean, think about it. God did for us what we could not do for ourselves. And here's the point. I know I didn't deserve it, and I'm only going to speak for myself. But despite me, he still did it. But I clue you in. There's not a person here this morning that deserved it. And yet, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Why? To give us eternal life. To give us hope that doesn't change. I can remember as a young boy watching all the excitement about all the Apollo launches. And I remember that day when America showed its ingenuity and just everything above when that first step was taken on the face of the moon. Many of you remember that. And if you remember, we started putting a lot of trust in ourselves and our accomplishments and all that we can do if we just put enough work behind it and think hard enough. A lot of emphasis was put on that. But listen, we cannot do what Christ has done for us. All the planning, all the science, everything. We can't do it. So I like what Don Bosham said about that. He said, "Our hope is not in the man that we put on the moon. Our hope is in the man that we put on the cross." Amen. That's where our hope is. Our hope is not in ourselves, but it's in Christ. And listen, the world is looking for something. It's looking for answers. It's looking at something that they can wrap their arms around and sink their teeth in and say, yeah, maybe I can handle this because of Christ. And we've got it, and we've got to share it. The third thing I want you to see about our message of hope is this. Our message of hope is immovable. Immovable. Again, the writer of Hebrews says, we've received a kingdom that is that cannot be shaken. I wonder how much we truly, and I can't emphasize that enough, truly understand or fathom the power of Almighty God. And this week, it really set in with me about that. Do we truly understand or fathom God's power? And I would answer, I don't believe we do. Because if we've truly understood God's power and fathomed it, I don't think we'd find ourselves doing some of the things we do. Because he is a righteous and holy God. You know, notice what it said at the end of our passage in Hebrews. It said that we are to, by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. I mean, think about it. The God who at creation spoke and the heavens came into being. The God at creation who spoke and the earth and all the planets came into being. Dry lands, seas, animals. Then he saved the best for last. Us. His most prized creation. But he spoke it. Paul, speaking of the Creator in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, tells us, "For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him." Jesus himself spoke of that power being immovable. In John chapter 10, Jesus said this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me, and I give eternal life to them. And they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand." Then he tells why. He says, "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Listen, there's no power, there's no thing that exists that can move the hope that Jesus places right here within us, because we're in his hands. We're in his hands. And he loves us. How much does he love us? He loved us enough to die for us. That's how much he loves us. And this hope that he's given us is immovable. Paul speaks of this in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You want your immovable hope? There it is right there. There it is. Cannot be moved. Again, going back to that great psalm that I read at the beginning, Psalm 62. Verses 5 through 8, the psalmist said this. Listen to these words of comfort and trust. He says, "My soul waits in silence for God only." I can almost see the psalmist. You know, he's going through something and he's enduring it. And instead of looking for answers or whatever, he said, "My soul waits in silence for God only." He says, "For my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. Oh my God, oh God, my salvation and my glory rest. The rock of my strength, my refuge is in God." Why did the psalmist feel that way? He felt that way because he knew his trust and his hope was in God, and God could not be moved, that he was in God's hands, and he trusted the Lord in that. And listen, there's a world around us, church, that needs to hear that, that needs to know that. And I love the fact last Sunday, Skeeter, and sharing with y'all, he made the point that that's the plan that God put in place for us to be that. There's not a plan B, plan C. We are the plan. God has entrusted us with this message of salvation, this message of hope that is eternal, that cannot be shaken. Are we going to deliver that message? It's the only plan in place until Jesus comes the second time. Are we going to take part in that? I mean, think about it. I was praying and speaking with someone this morning, and we both agreed. Man, God has, he didn't need us. Sometimes we think highly of ourselves, thinking, yeah, God, boy, I hit a home run that time, didn't I? No, God doesn't need us. But he chooses, and here's the key, he chooses us to be a part of it. He allows us to be a part of his kingdom work. When we entered into that relationship with Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, we received a kingdom, as the writer of Hebrews says, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. At the same time, we received a hope that cannot be shaken. The world is in need of that hope. The question is, will we deliver that message of hope to a desperate and hopeless world? Jesus Christ is the sole hope and trust of mankind, that they trust and believe in his name. You got a quote at the end of your notes this morning. I want you to look at that quote. Life with Christ is an endless hope. Without Christ, a hopeless end. There's not a truer statement that's ever been made. For those of us who have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, we have an endless hope that's unchanging, immovable, and eternal. But the world around us doesn't. You got a little piece of paper also in your bulletin. Looks something like this. Are you willing to take that? Write three names down on it. Just three. Of a friend, coworker, associate, family member. And you, will you prayerfully can take that and be willing to take the message of hope to them? Invest in their lives so that they would understand the hope that you have through your relationship with Jesus Christ. Would you invite them to come and be a part of what God is doing here in our church? That's what we're asking you to do. To invest and invite. Just three. Just three. I love that old song from years ago by Babbie Mason. Each one reach one. Each one reach one. Would you be willing to do that? Take it. Prayerfully consider. Listen, we have something very beautiful in our relationship with Jesus Christ. A hope for all eternity. Let's be willing to share it with others. Let's pray. Father, your love is so great, so enormous, that even in the moment that we're unlovable because of our actions and because of our ways, you continue to love us. And God, in those moments when we fail you, when given the opportunity to be a witness, to share a good word, to share you and the hope that you've given us, Father, we fail. Father, I pray in the coming days and weeks and even months that we would be willing to do that. Father, it may start with just these three on this little slip of paper. But God, may it extend beyond that. That we'd be willing at any time, in any moment, as we're told in your word, to give a reason, to give an answer for the hope that we have. God, we love you and we praise you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we stand this morning and continue to worship, and that's what this is, we continue to worship. Perhaps God has spoken to you this morning through his word, and it's time for you to speak back. You come. Perhaps God has placed someone in particularly on your heart, as I mentioned those three names. You come, begin this morning praying for them down at the altar. Perhaps God is calling you to be a part of this church here. You come if God has spoken to you this morning. Skeeter will be here. I'll be here. You come. Whatever God has placed on your heart this morning, come. Don't put it off. Do it today as we continue to worship.